Live from Atlanta.
It's Saturday night.
Fuck you.
Actually, it's more Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That Friday night, because this is...
Friday night.
You know, Anime Week in Atlanta. Oh, yeah. Hi, folks.
Oh, sorry.
And this is The Awesome Cast. Yes, folks, it's still the Awesome Cast, a special Anime Con edition. I'm Basil.
I'm Eric.
I'm Lee.
And I'm Rail.
We sometimes call him Brad, but that's us. It's, how late? 1:30 in the morning?
1:30 in the morning, Atlanta time.
It was the, this has been the first day, actual day of Anime Week in Atlanta, the Southeast foremost. Coolest Anime Con.
Oh, yeah, you.
Are you just going to say that all night?
No.
Like, is that all you can say nightly? No. It's oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you.
Just got to
know. Hell, yeah,
I got to ask before we get any further in here.
And the rules of the podcast are, if you happen to be in the room, you get to say stuff. So, Brad gets to be one of our special guests, even though he doesn't really do anything worth being a special guest.
Yeah, it really is.
Does Kevin get to say stuff, or is he asleep?
If Kevin wants to chirp up and say things, he can say them, but I don't know if anyone's going to hear him.
Kevin sits back on his cushioned throne, not unlike Crom, if you guys all get Conan references right. Anyway.
No,
was
yeah.
that the guy who was James Earl Jones, or is that somebody else?
No, it's Crom is Conan's god, as it were.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I watched Conan
James
the other
Earl
day.
But they're not, we're not
the
reading the
villain.
Bible. We're not reading the Bible.
He's the main villain.
No, whatever.
Isn't he the main villain of the first Conan movie?
Darth Vader is not the main villain of the first Conan movie. He's the main villain of the first Star Wars movie.
You know,
yes,
it'd be really sad if we spent the next 10 minutes arguing
James
about comic
Earl
books
Jones
and some anime.
Is the villain in Conan.
Okay, I concede there were lightsabers in Conan. You're right. I'm sorry. There's a big guy in a black mask with lightsabers.
Actually, it wasn't in a mask. It was just him.
Shut the fuck up!
Okay, sorry, jeez.
I guess this is Kevin. He will be in the Awesome Cast.
All right.
Isn't this like... the most number of members that have ever been on one Awesome Cast, like 5.
Now, once we had the London and Philharmonic Orchestra on here.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. They were like, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but they weren't able to enunciate actual words, so.
The con.
The cons are pretty good this year.
I guess we just run down. Friday, there honestly weren't much in the way of panels I wanted to do. How about you guys? Was there any panels anybody
panels,
wanted to do?
Panels? What panels?
I actually went to a couple.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a bunch of the artist ones, but that's just because, you know, artists.
You draw things?
You draw things.
Because you're an artist?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And they were decent. Kind of.
Explain.
It's okay. You can cut loose.
Yeah,
if they suck,
okay.
You say that.
Okay, yeah. The lady, you know, having us... you know, talk about your book for half an hour and then sit up front while people show you their drawings isn't really a class teaching other people to draw. Like, kind of sucked.
Who ran that? Do you know?
I don't even remember her name, but she draws good, just to teach well.
Do you know the name of her book? Do you remember the...
No. Well, let me look.
You know what she... You know?
It was Drawing with Camellia de Errico. And she's very talented, and she...
couldn't teach.
Yeah.
But you didn't learn a thing?
I really didn't. But I had a good time, kind of, whatever.
And oh snap, out of nowhere we have
our
DJ Nubito. Get over here.
Come on in, my man.
Whoa, he's like the sixth ranger.
Yes.
That's right.
The green ranger.
He's the green one.
The green ranger has entered the room, guys. Speaking of which, there's an awesome Green Ranger cosplayer out there today. If anybody saw
there's
him,
several
there's
good
several
Power
awesome
Rangers.
Cosplayers.
Definitely.
And I saw a lot of Kamina cosplayers, which made me happy as the flood of Naruto and stuff is having... at least some people are fighting the power.
And just to get the record straight, not a fucking Tonberry. Alright? Like, if you guys see pictures of a guy at Eddie Buey, and you think, oh, that's a Tonberry. Not a fucking Tonberry.
What if there's a real Tonberry?
In case
cosplay?
You were...
Shut up, Brad.
Not here That's not proper use. Anyways, our good man Eric here decided to say, screw that anime crap, and cosplayed a Jawa for this year at AWA.
That's right.
Like he cosplays at every convention ever.
One step below anime character, one step above Star Trek character.
And even having witnessed this fallacy, I have volunteered to cosplay a Tonberry next year to stand right beside Eric in the Jawa costume, just so everyone can contrast and compare.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a whole session. In fact, if they would let me, I'd run a goddamn panel on the differences between a Tonberry and a Jawa.
You know what this is going to do, though? They're just going to say, oh, look, two Tonberry.
Yes! It's a female and a male Tonberry.
We can always check with Crisis Con. Who knows? I mean, maybe they need more panels.
Yes, give her a check with Crisis Con. I was a little disappointed in the dealer's room this year. I don't know about everybody else.
It wasn't quite up to snuff from what I saw last year.
Not at all.
I still spent almost $200 the first
day. You bought it almost all at one booth. There was one guy who had a ton of new stuff. There was one booth that had a ton of new anime import stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else looked like last year's booth, minus the cool stuff we all bought from last year.
Exactly.
Like, I noticed a lot of people had the Twilight King figure from the Twilight Princess set, but none of the other characters, and stuff like that.
Some new Nintendo plushies that I really had no interest in, but otherwise,
a couple of new Nintendo plushies. A new video game booth. There was there was the guys that are there every year, whose name I don't remember you guys, but they were playing a jam with a band, Band Brothers, over loudspeakers, and that was really cool. But there was a new set of guys there this year, and they were really nice. And
are you talking about the New York one?
The
usual ones, guys, who has the little black things of cardboard where they write in crayon or whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the new guys.
The new guys are like a physical store. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but they have a place here, an import or a retro video game store here in Atlanta, and it was really nice.
And there wasn't as many
find a location.
There wasn't as many like little confections that you normally see, like the Japanese food stands and everything.
Yeah,
there was. Did you not see the WYSIWYG booth where they had their entire line of Japanese snacks?
The WYSIWYG.
Did you know that they set up the WYSIWYG booth late because I went in early and me and Suze could not find it whatsoever.
So. It's there. I saw it.
Well, it is now.
So. That's the problem with anime conventions these days. Ever since 3 or 4 years ago, you can basically find 4 or 5 different types of anime vendors, but there'll be 20 of each at every anime con, so there's no variety. You can't find any more collectibles, with the one exception of the Basil we'll probably go over later in this podcast. So,
first to say, before I forget, the new video game guys, they nabbed me a Game Genie for the Sega Saturn, which also was bonus as a ramp cart, so I can now play my imports and also import all the 2D fighters on the Sega Saturn. So, props to them for that, because I've been looking for one on eBay. They're like $70. I got it for $20.
Nice.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Those guys were awesome. They had DJ Max 1, which I can't find online anymore. Like, it comes up on eBay every once in a while, but you can't, like, go to PlayAsia and buy DJ Max 1 anymore.
But I think the biggest reason that dealers' rooms don't rock it out like they used to, a lot of it's the internet. Because you can get a whole crap load of stuff out of that you can't get normal.
Well, not only that, but it seems like there's much less buying. Like, because of the internet, I guess, there's a lot less buying going on. Yeah. And when you own a physical store, you've got to get through your stock. I mean, these guys can't, like, do what Best Buy does and ship it back to the manufacturers for a credit. You know, they've got to sell it, so you end up with the same Death Note shit for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the internet, a lot of anime companies in Japan are just less willing to make collectible items, with few exceptions. So,
also, there's the fact that AWA is near the end of the con cycle. And usually a lot of these stores will buy up big right before the anime season. At least that's what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So and then they'll sell through as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then near the end, they're not going to have as much. And they still reorder things like that one guy.
Yeah.
Because I bought the entire movie set of the Gurren Lagann plushies.
Well, that was just one guy who very obviously he had some kind of connection in Japan or something. Because I mean, those came out like
two weeks ago
or something like that. Those
I
came
think
out.
He anticipated
like,
that. That's why he came to AWA.
And I'll tell you, that made me very sad because I was really expecting a ton of Gurren Lagann stuff to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was like two different T-shirts, one of which cost $50 a pop, a mug, at one place, and
yeah,
then
I got one.
And then this guy who had a bunch of one guy had a bunch of girls.
That's the sad
thing.
Somebody is going to buy that T-shirt for $50, even though most people probably would have paid $30 for it.
Also, Gurren Lagann was big in Japan. It wasn't big in Japan this year. The big thing in Japan now is the movie that's coming out, which is why they had the plushie set.
Promotional.
But all the actual merchandise that they make, it probably was made last year, so there's not as much this year as there could have been.
Like, I don't know. Like I said, I was really excited. One of the big things that excited me was, hey, there's an anime that I like that's actually kind of popular, because normally I end up liking animes that aren't very popular.
Yeah, same here, which makes it really hard to find swag for them.
Exactly. Like, last year my big anime was Mushishi, which there are DVDs, manga, and then $100-something figurine for.
And that's about it.
And that's it. We're done.
Too much to ask for one Demon Bane model? Really?
I mean, me and nobody were sitting there trying to bargain with the Funimation people for their poster. Like, we'll pay you $50 for your poster.
I'm surprised there's no Soul Eater.
I didn't see any Soul Eaters.
The only Soul Eater I saw was in the artist gallery with people drawing Soul Eater, but there is no merch of it.
I wonder, maybe it's because it's still so new as far as being animated, maybe there's not enough merchandise.
There's usually a 3 to 6 month lag period.
You think we're just to the very end of it?
Where'd all the Zelda plushies come from? Like, anybody know? Like that, they were not around last season. Well, that was one of the new things, was all the Zelda plushies.
Have you noticed that it tends to be video game plushies and stuff? There seems to be a lot more video game stuff in dealers' rooms the past few years.
Yeah, a lot.
And there has been anime
stuff.
Because until I found the Gurren Lagann plushies, I bought a lot of Gurren Lagann stuff almost exclusively.
Yeah.
Except for my Ram cart this year. But normally, the several years, I've been buying mostly video game items. Well, it's because my big vice is plushies. I have to own plushies. There's just something about them. You know, this year at MTAC, I ended up buying figurines because they had no plushies.
Yeah.
And so, in the past few years, all the big plushies I've seen for series I like were all video games. I was buying lots of Nintendo characters, and this year
the only new thing I saw at so many booths.
Maybe it was the DS game.
You know,
Phantom Hourglass.
Might be from Phantom Hourglass, because
it was the Toon cel-shaded.
Yeah, cel-shaded Link. And then there was the new Star. There was a Star, and somebody had Fireflower. And
Fireflower. I would have gotten a Fireflower. Like, anyways.
Yeah, somebody had a Fireflower, and somebody had... and there was a new Goomba.
There was a new Goomba, and a
new Mario.
Yeah.
But
that's Mario Sunshine.
It's Mario Sunshine.
That's Sunshine Galaxy. Galaxy.
Yeah. But anyway, in the end, like I said, the dealer's room was all right, but it's a little...
Yeah, I have to point out that even though a lot of stuff was recycled, it was a joy trolling through there, hoping to come across the rare... whatever that might, you know, attune to some of those unique anime tastes.
I will be the only man in Huntsville, Alabama who owns Keyboard Mania. I will be. If they want less than $100 for that, I will go buy it tomorrow.
You just might be the only person in Alabama.
With Keyboard Mania.
And you never know. I mean, sometimes dealers will bring out the really good stuff for Saturdays.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment for Saturday. There may be some cool stuff turns up. Or I may find something I missed the first couple times through there.
So we give them a play-by-play for each day?
We'll
probably skip Sunday.
We'll probably skip Friday, Saturday, and
Saturday, if anything, Sunday we might bring up during the actual next awesome cast.
Yeah.
You know.
So, how's the cosplay this year?
It was pretty good.
What do you think?
Lots of hotties, yes.
I saw a lot of the Naruto and Bleach, but I did see a few, you know, I saw some Persona 3 and just a lot of neat little things.
A lot of Kamenas.
Yeah, I've seen at least 3 or 4 Kamenas.
If you haven't gone to the the cosplay gallery, it is always kind of interesting that they actually have one room that shows off some really, really good costumes on like models and stuff.
Yeah,
they actually have an Orpheus from
Persona 3. Orpheus.
Awesome! I need to go see
that. It's from the We Go for Kyo girls, and they're really, really good. They actually did today. I know I saw them in their Powerpuff Girls Grand Prix outfits.
Wild,
which were awesome.
Yeah,
that too.
Also hot.
Well, there was, you know, and I guess I'm just talking about it because I was in the Jawa outfit. There's actually a lot of Star Wars cosplay this year. There's two Stormtroopers at least.
Oh, I saw one.
Mara Jade, my Jawa.
And of course, I saw several Jokers.
Several Jokers. Oh, God. Jokers are everywhere. Guys, listen up. Stop the fucking Jokers. It's not a cool costume because you know what? Most of you fuckers half-ass it. And I know it seems like, oh, I can buy some white paint and red paint and spray paint myself
and
green.
And then go, why are you so serious?
Yeah, and shut up with why so serious. Like, guys, there's a Maddox article. And if you know who Maddox is, you don't deserve to know who Maddox is. And it's all on the people who are and aren't Dave Chappelle. Well, guess what? Go read that and then change Dave Chappelle to the Joker. And guess what? Heck, we can even do a different one with the guys who are and aren't Heath Ledger, and it'll actually be 0% to 100% because Heath Ledger's dead. None of y'all fuckers are Heath Ledger anymore.
And speaking of the, you know, not Japanese cosplaying, I saw a few Captain Hammers.
Yeah.
And one Dr. Horrible.
One Dr. Horrible.
I didn't see the Dr. Horrible.
Yeah, with the.
It was kind of horrible.
And somebody went, yeah, they're pretty bad. There's a lot of bad Dr. Horribles out there. Like, guys, wear the right lab coat. Like, don't just buy a white lab coat that's the exact wrong lab coat and wear it. Just, you're stupid. And there are actually people selling the Dr. Horrible goggles. Like, the, and it's funny, not the original ones, not the ones that you can't find, but the green ones that there was the big brouhaha over them shipping them out, the mm-hmm. wrong kind. Right. People were selling those here today. So, a lot of steampunk goggles. I mean, there was something I saw in the dealership that I had not seen in.
From what I've heard from people who went to Dragon Con, steampunk was very in this
year. The steampunk was the thing.
It's the trend for,
this year. Which is cool. I like steampunk.
Yeah, steampunk is great.
Yeah, go.
And speaking of cosplay, I want to give a shout out to a Adult Simon from Gurren Lagann cosplayer. If he, you know, I gave him a card. Maybe he'll listen to this. I salute you, sir.
Everybody, we gave Awesome Cast cards. You're awesome for actually going to the Awesome Cast and listening to it.
And giving us a try.
And we will have Brad perform sexual favors for you.
Shut up.
Anytime you want.
We'll also film it.
We'll film it.
Sell it.
Cosplay. Anyway.
I did not consent to this.
We'll give you like 5%
of cosplay.
Yes, you did. No, I did not.
I heard you at the Chili's.
No.
Children, I will turn this cosplay around.
This needs to be PG-13 rated, okay?
The Awesome Cast, your podcast for all things cosplay.
Ew.
Anyways,
Wait, did you say Butts Cast?
Shut up, Brad.
Biker shorts do not belong on a Chun-Li costume. It's just not
right. Yeah. Seriously, you're going to dress up as Chun-Li. I want to see your thighs.
And if you're that cosplayer, I'm sorry. You were still hot.
You're hot. That's why we want to see your thighs.
Biker shorts are a no on that.
Anyway, go on.
And of course, Friday is usually the warm-up day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the big stuff usually hits on Saturdays, which usually also means all the big cosplays show up on Saturday, especially
and
since
photo
that's
shoots.
It's the costume contest day. Yep. They all get judged, so they bring out their Sunday best on Saturdays.
And we all go to dinner during it because we don't want to go around during the cosplay
contest. Awesome Cast does not care about the masquerade.
We will comment on the sexy costumes, though.
We just don't want to hear your
skits. Suze isn't listening.
Well, I'm hoping to get her in one of them.
Yeah. If you can get Suze in a slave girl Leia outfit, I swear you will be my hero. Like, I'm just saying.
She listens to this.
But she's got to have the bun haircut at the same time. I have a thing for that. It's got to be both.
Okay.
Well, speaking of podcasts and stuff, I did go to the Anime War Orders. It was, I know Kevin and Soda James, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I did it for like 5 seconds.
Series overview, yeah.
They did their spring fall 2008 season
review. Oh, I meant to go that. How was it?
It was actually pretty good.
It was better than I was expecting it to be honest with you.
And now there was some technical hiccups, not on their part, just the projector was kind of crap.
They hadn't fired it up yet before they tried to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and for one, another cable seemed to work correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, they have good cables. It was just, the projector was weird, and even after they started playing it, it was way, way, way too bright.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see half the things until they paused it, and then
the Anyway Tech guys came in, helped out.
Yeah, like, and you know, the chick that was running the operations right in front, you know, who checks events, checks badges, who was in Anyway Tech at all, she was doing her best to help out and get techs there. So kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good panel. I mean, they showed a lot of shows that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of shows that we haven't seen, like Library Wars.
Yeah, Library Wars I never heard of.
Which apparently is a show where they arm all the librarians, and the way they handle wars is they find out where battles are going to happen. They buy the buildings there, call them libraries, and fill them with gun-toting librarians to protect it.
Whoa.
Which I don't know, that sounded kind of cool. And there was some other neat stuff, too.
And some not-so-neat stuff, but mostly neat.
They trashed Rosario plus Vampire, so I was...
Yeah. Hey, Rosario plus Vampire is totally not worth watching after the third episode. Totally worth watching for the
third episode. And they blasted Ketosin.
Yeah. Did they?
Yes.
I don't like Ketosin.
Well, no, they didn't either.
But they did.
And the really good, though, is
that Ketosin isn't really...
They're still doing new seasons.
Is that the anime with the orange-haired girl and the blue-haired girl with the eye patch?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
They go in, get into fights, and their clothes are always being ripped off.
Oh, yeah. That one.
But you never really see really anything.
Yeah, you never see anything, because it's like there's just enough scraps to couple the nipples.
And the bizarre thing couple is based the on the romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Now, really, we were there to get our seats for the next panel, which was Daryl Surratt was hosting Crazy Anime Deaths.
Oh.
Or Anime's Craziest Deaths. And that was great.
That was great. Yes.
That was awesome.
Man, I kind of missed this.
Now, I was lost in the dealer's room.
It did suck, though not on his fault, for two main things. One, right before the panel started, someone pulled the fire alarm.
Fucker.
Yeah, we heard that.
And, you know, several people had to get shooed out. Not shooed, shooed. Like, you know, shoo.
Yes.
And then when we finally, that stopped, and we finally got all back to our seats and everything, they had to re-hook everything back up, mess with the projector again. Mm-hmm. And then we also found out that thanks to stupid-ass Narutards, this was supposed to be a two-hour panel. The Naruto people who were on the next panel right afterwards, they thought they were starting at 4, not 5. So for some reason, AWA gave them the slot and didn't make them wait till 5.
What?
Yeah.
So we end up getting like 30 to 45 minutes of any death instead of 2 hours.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Wasn't enough death, Narutards. We're looking for
like,
you.
We got a lot of good ones, you know, several from Genocyber. They did the
North Star.
Fifth of North Star.
Three whole Taminos.
We did get the Mikimomo, which was later reprised anime
Mikimomo.
Hell.
Yeah. Best Magical Girl Show ending ever. Check it out, people.
I'm sure someone's got on YouTube. Yeah, well, we're getting there.
No. You're on the opposite end of the day, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where that's the only part I went to.
You went to visit your family, loser.
And then that was my last real panel before Totally Lame Anime and Anime Hell. Mm-hmm. I know James went to a photography.
I went to a cosplay photography panel, but it was more so a panel of you need to buy these expensive lenses and here are these expensive cameras, and it wasn't really more so about
actually
the photography
the
and like how to take good cosplay photos, which is what I was expecting it to be. It was a lot more technical. It was a bunch of camera tech talk, and well, I kind of took it in and tried to see what I could learn out of it. It just wasn't really what I was expecting it to be.
But I guess a photographer's soul is really in his camera.
Yeah.
Or where they're talking in the lens that you use for the camera.
Pretty much, yeah.
Very technical. I had to walk out. My head was spinning.
I also found out that if I want to be a serious photographer, I have to rob a couple banks, apparently, for equipment.
Well, like, well, this thing's cost $10,000 plus. And I was like, oh my God, that's worth more than my car.
I like taking pictures of girls, but not that much.
Yeah, exactly. I'll stick with my point and shoot.
There's some cool guys like the you know, the Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
There was that one Professor Stein.
There was?
There was a Professor
Stein.
I've
seen two Professor Steins.
It's really skinny, though. It wasn't, you know, you needed to bulk
out. There were two. I don't know. It might have been one or two. I don't know. I saw them around, though.
And all the best Code Geass cosplayers are women, even the male characters.
And then afterwards, we went to a bangin' stir fry place.
Yeah, oh, buddy.
What kind of food was it? Like, is it really good or like?
What was it called? What was it called again?
It was a chow baby.
Chow baby.
American stir fry.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat. They gave you two bowls, a red bowl and a black bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The black bowl's big. You put whatever you want in it, like vegetable wise. They had like rice noodles, lo mein noodles, like actual pasta. All sorts of vegetables and all sorts of sauces, like really good sauces too.
Yeah.
And then that's one bowl. Then they had another bowl, which you put your meat in. They had like sausage and beef and chicken and salmon and other fish.
Yeah.
You put that in another bowl. And you put whatever spices you want on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hand them that together and they stir fry it together.
Hey, child baby, to you. We'll be waiting for our endorsement check from you guys.
Like, so you choose what you want to eat exactly.
Yes.
So it's almost a lot like that Korean buffet that we were doing.
Well, yes.
They,
yes.
Except for they cook it.
Just like that, actually.
Or if you're from up north, it's like B&D's Mongolian Grill. So
it's the same thing as that, yeah.
That's, like, that's pretty awesome.
I think we're going to do it at lunch so you can try it, but it was, yeah, it was really good. Like,
and after that, I went to Fred Perry's drawing workshop, and that man can draw. Like, he can go...
You show you how to draw titties? Cause that's what man can draw.
Unfortunately, he didn't get to that far.
So
in
who
the,
is Fred Perry?
He does that Gold Digger thing comic, doesn't he?
This Gold Digger,
yes. He also did Ninja High School.
Ninja High School.
Remembers that?
He's done some, he did work some for, of Ninja High School. I mean,
he works for... he did pencils for Marvel or something.
He was probably the most famous...
Or not pencil inks.
A manga artist before Fred Perry, and we won't count him for obvious
Wait,
reasons.
Did you say Fred Perry? Did you
wait,
just
no,
say
for Fred Gallagher.
I was about to say, did you say Fred Perry was the most famous one before
wait.
Fred Perry?
Are you trying to compare Fred Perry to Fred Gallagher? To Fred freaking Moe BS freaking crap Gallagher?
I think he's referring to, like, the...
popularity.
The notoriety of the two artists.
Yeah, he's talking about how popular they are, not their art styles.
Yeah, okay. For being a pseudo-anime style.
But Fred Perry can actually draw... Anyways, at least hands.
Sketch.
But, well, he was a very, he did a very good drawing workshop, so...
I can totally draw like Fred Gallagher, because I can sketch.
All you have to do is cry on the paper.
Remember,
Fred Perry, damn you!
Remember, guys, if you define your lines, then you might actually have to be a real artist, and that would be awful. So don't define your lines, you know, at all.
I heard the awesomely bad Japanese music videos was a good panel, but I didn't go to it. I did, however, go to. We did, however, go to Totally Lame Anime.
That was lame.
Which was anime that was totally lame. It was very hilarious.
No false advertisement on that one.
Frankenstein flips out like a ninja.
But didn't we see that last year when that opened?
They showed more. Yeah.
They showed more Frankenstein.
They showed more Dracula.
More Dracula.
Apparently, in the movie, he has a son named Janice.
That's awesome.
Who's apparently the servant of God. Who's supposed to be this being of total good. It was like the worst Castlevania fan fiction ever.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing.
What is man but a little pile of secrets?
And then they showed Solar Adventures, which we saw last year again. It was the one where it was live-action Korean kids fighting
communists. Oh, God, that's painful. Why did they have to show that again?
Because it's great.
It is painful.
That was a giant robot
Maybe you don't
around
understand
the
point of totally lame anime.
It was bad, and that's why it was so
to
good.
Be bad.
But it was hosted by Neil Nadelman, who is one of the big translators.
Yeah.
Out and about. He's been in the industry for years. He did a lot of the early Central Park Media stuff.
Is he the one that's with Bandai now?
I don't know these things. Do I look like Daryl Surratt? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, on the right
line.
They
look nothing alike. Anyways.
They don't know that.
Well.
Well, now they do.
Moving on, right afterwards was Anime
Hell. Oh, yeah, I want to say, okay, if you are the girl that was in charge of the Anime Hell line, you're stupid. Like, I'm sorry, but you are. Like, I know you were trying your best, but don't sit there and, like, let some people in that didn't get in line. And also, when people leave, they let other people in. Like when 13, 14, 15, 16 people leave a panel, and there's 13, 14, 15, 16 free seats now, let 13, 14, 15, 16 of us in the stupid panel.
Man, you should be like, look, lady, I do a podcast. I'm somebody.
I'm somebody.
You're just some staff.
The awesome cast.
You're nothing.
I drank next to Dave Merrill. No.
Speaking of Dave Merrill, he's, you know, one of the co-chairs of Anime Way. One of the guys who's made it happen for years. And one of his big things is this thing called Anime Hell, which is a sort of variety of clip show of whatever craziness he can put together to shove in our faces, and we, for some reason, like it.
It has become the defining point of AWA, almost.
It one of them. It's definitely the big thing to do on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that main ballroom was packed.
Yeah,
I know they can seat several thousand people, and it was filled to the gills. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really nice, and I actually did see two of the AWA members Gerald and Calissa, I saw them get up and give people their seats, which was really cool. And I think they stood, I don't know. Me, I'm a jerk and kept my seat.
Save them for others.
Many of which were there here. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. It was
great. A lot of fun. One of the better ones in a
better
while.
Better one in years. So, yeah, that was a lot of new clips that I hadn't seen yet.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I've been to like four.
And that was an awesome Astro Boy music video.
Yes. Great tribute to Astro Boy.
Yeah, that was the best.
I want that Astro Boy music video. Yeah. I want it.
I want that song that they did in the
back. Oh, baby.
Great Astro Boy tribute. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. I'm not an Astro Boy fan. And yeah, I was
But that one just touched you.
That was good.
Yeah. I am an Astro Boy fan, and I was like,
ditto.
A little too much martial arts. Martial arts went along a little too long.
Yeah, I didn't really understand why they did so much of that.
Because the martial arts just wasn't like. The joke was, oh, look, it's stupid martial arts. And
yeah,
a little bit of that's funny.
It was kind of boring.
But there was like 20, 30 minutes of it in the 2 hours, and that was like, no.
And I also wasn't jiving with the Message from Space video, but.
Yeah, the Message from Space music video was too long. And
I don't really like the music, but the video kind of sucked it.
Yeah.
The music was pretty
But that was only two down points.
Awesome. Yeah, those were like two down points, and even then were too low. I mean,
I mean, the only thing that he really replayed. From last year was Dr. Tran. And Dr. Tran is, I think, was probably one of his new staples.
Yeah. No Hino.
He hasn't done Hino in a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of, no. He even mentioned no fucking Hino.
Yeah.
At the
Hino is a really old, he's a German singer who has really wiggy eyes, who has to wear sunglasses. He wears very, very deep.
Oh, no, he's not the guy that sang. No, that's someone else. Never mind.
He sings German folk tunes.
Ah.
And he was a staple for many, many years.
Yeah, they used to sell Hino buttons and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, he's very good about realizing when something gets played out, he stops.
Yeah.
We don't see Monkey versus Robot anymore either.
Yeah. We're still hearing Dark.
We did get Ninja Robots, that's like the 1980s distilled into a 4-minute clip with music behind it.
Ninja Robots.
Like, that's what it was Ninja Robots. And it's like, you know, that's like the joke, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the VR Troopers and Power Rangers and merged them into one TV show and played it for me. And there's much
with giant robots that were ninjas.
Yes.
Yes.
What are the ninjas pilot of the giant robots?
But then, they're also
and one of no, one of the giant robots was a ninja, and then the people piloting the animal like giant robots were also ninjas.
Right. My bad. Sorry.
Because remember, it's been a while. Because remember, you have the power, and you're in the machine.
That is awesome. And that's awesome a
great
motto.
That was great. Like, I really wish I knew where that came. That was.
They
real.
Showed a lot of the Tezuka stuff. You know, Tezuka's the guy started the whole manga anime thing as far as we know it.
Like, this is a really amazing jump animation.
Jump ball, yeah. Just the animation test, you know.
Yeah, it was basically just a first-person view of jumping the hell around and jumping higher and higher and higher.
I really like the broken down video.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
It was like no language in it, and it was just a perfectly distilled piece of...
Yeah, it was good. Good, well done. Well done, sir.
It was like, you know, an old-timey thing where it feels like a film reel, but he plays around with it as a visual medium.
Yeah.
And that it was just really, really neat. And, you know, Cleopatra was, you know...
Queen of Sex. Yes. That's the title.
They didn't let it get too
You know what's funny was that version of Julius Caesar looks an awful like the version of Julius Caesar they use in, anybody seen the 12 Tasks of Asterix? Ever? I guess not. Well, there's an old Disney cartoon. Well, it's not a Disney cartoon. It's a thing in Europe, and Disney brought it over and made it a Disney cartoon.
So you think they called it Lightning?
And it's like looks exactly a lot like the way Caesar looked in, like I mean, almost like no, not the rest of the animation, like everybody else, but it's like the Caesar face they used was
It could have been intentional. I mean, Tezuka took a lot of influence from Disney and what. I believe, if I remember correctly, hung out with Walt Disney a few times.
Well, like, 12 Tasks of Asterix is actually a big children's series in France and in England. Mostly France and mainland Europe. And it's like it's a big thing there. It's not just like a one movie. It's like there's been a bunch of movies. Just 12 Tasks of Asterix was the one that Disney brought to America. So
and,
I don't know.
And back to the Cleopatra movie, something that bothered me about it was the whole fact that the people from the future... Where, you know, live-action actors...
Oh, yeah.
Animated heads.
And one disintegrated for no apparent reason.
Yes. Well, they're from the future.
And then we saw the Future Boy.
Yeah, Future Boy, which was Hayao Miyazaki's big, you know, TV show he did back in the day.
You don't mess with Future Boy Conan. He will fuck your shit up.
But did he really come from the future? Is that the plot?
No, he came from the past. He was in the future.
Yeah.
Oh. No wonder he was so fucking strong.
Like, it's... I'll show it to you one day. I've got all of it.
Okay.
It's good. It's good stuff. I think if you hunt torrents down enough, you might be able to find it.
I need to see that.
But that was Anime Hell.
That was Anime Hell. And a few of us took to check out the beginnings of Midnight Madness, which is the fan parody section.
Yeah. But the problem is there's no new fan... To quote the guy at the beginning, there's at least 3 or 4 minutes of new stuff this year. And I'm sorry, that's not enough to stick around.
Although, you know, he actually does his own fan parodies himself.
Yeah.
Like, he did the Coming Soon from last year.
Yeah.
Which are a bunch of trailers, which he was the first thing he played this year, because it's the newest thing made.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Did a really good Sailor Moon version of E for Vendetta.
T for Tuxedo.
Yeah.
And the Oh Rick, yeah, Macross one, which is my personal favorite. Anyways, they're apparently doing a Slayers fan parody for next year,
which is
a TSR. It's a sort of a D&D
Slayers. A TSR. Oh! Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think they call it the Slayers redub because it's
that's
TSR.
Awesome. That's,
it looks like it's going to be good.
That's yeah, great. I salute you, sir.
It might be the best one. It started with, you know, Fisting of the North Star.
Fisting of the North Star. Yeah.
God. Lots of gay jokes in that one. But it should be good. And at that point, you know, we decided.
Fuck it, pizza. We couldn't find pizza.
I stuck around for the...
Me and Lee stuck around for Evangelion Redeath.
The remastered version, which had a lot of the crap that I hadn't heard yet from the normal one.
Yeah, well, that's Studio Sodeki? Or Sudeki? Or
I don't know.
Sodekai? Or something or other.
I just remember
when I post
balls.
This, I'll Google it up and give you the actual name. But they've done a lot of really good stuff. Fanboy Bebop,
mm-hmm.
Nescaflone.
Oh, I love Nescaflone.
And Ava Redeath. And they're one of the better groups.
Mm-hmm.
And when they originally did the Ava Redeath, they used, you know, VHS tapes. One of their actresses actually had to phone it in. They recorded her off a phone, so she sounded horrible. Her voice was great, just the quality was horrible. And so they were like, you know what, screw this. Let's redo this. They got the really nice DVDs, remastered everything, got redone acting from the chick, you know, and with an actual microphone, which she was actually there, and redid a lot of the footage.
Added a lot of new jokes, added ball and music. It was good.
Considering how many times Deciano's messed with Ava, it seems somehow appropriate.
Yeah, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do a new one based off the movies.
And that was Friday.
And that was Friday.
That was Friday.
And now we're in the beginning of Saturday morning.
And we're going to sleep until the other beginning of Saturday morning, hopefully.
And then we're going to kick it off once more.
Now that's it, guys. We out.
Catch y'all later at AWA. Good morning, AWA! Well, it's not really
morning.
It's
not morning this time.
Yeah, it's
night.
11:50.
It's Saturday night. Only it's actually Saturday night. Welcome to the second half of the Awesome Cast AWA Spectacular.
Indeed.
Spectacular.
Right now we've got the actual usual awesome crew. Basil.
Eric.
And Lee.
That's us. So today is Saturday.
The day.
Bigger, badder,
longer,
uncut.
And speaking of longer and uncut, God, you guys see the registration this line?
It wasn't long.
I'm so glad.
It was stretching from the registration table down to the, actual room area and around the little
bend there. To the elevators?
Yes.
I'm really glad that we heard the Awesome Cast get both an early start and a late finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And by early start, I mean the early start badges that they mail us so we never wait in line.
Indeed. That's the way to
go. It's pretty cool. If you decide to, if you register online, you can choose an option. The option is early start. For an extra $20, they'll mail you your badge before you actually enter the con.
Now, it's not so great if you're just doing it with, like, yourself, but if you can gather a couple of friends together, right, and everybody pitch in, it's a great
amount. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
One person, $20. Two people, $20. 30 people, $20. It's just, like, group fees are good because it's only 25 people, you know, $25 per person. And you can do it pretty...
Six people.
Yeah, so like six
people is the minimum group. Yeah, six people is the minimum group. So it's $25 per person for the pass, and then the extra $20 for the shipping and everything.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that maybe we'll get big enough so we can actually, you know, put in to see about possibly getting media badges for next year.
What exactly would those allow us to do? What's the difference?
They're free.
Oh.
Well, they're free, which that I don't really care about.
Oh, duh. As part of the
podcast. I care about the free.
But, because $25 isn't that big of a deal.
Hey, that's one extra girl in the gun plushie.
No, it's not. They were 30. Anyways.
Close enough.
When you're media, you can feel all special. And when you ask for interviews and stuff, they'll go, you're just an early start. Yeah. But then they go, look at oh, you're media. You're legit.
Yeah, it does kind of, you know, creep people out when it's like, will you guys talk into my microphone in my hotel room for a little while?
Shut up. Shut up. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
If you don't have a press badge on. Saturday events, I actually went to a bunch of panels today, which I usually actually never do at NWA. I go running around with friends, but this year I wandered around with friends into panels. It was kind of strange.
Our first panel, originally, according to the schedule I'm looking at, the Anime Podcast Roundtable was supposed to be at noon.
But it wasn't at noon.
So we decided around 11:30 we'd go in, whatever panel it was, and...
The cookie.
Wait out.
No, that was later.
Let's go later. But this one is the Oran Host Club Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Where a bunch of cute go gals... Mori. Dressed up as the Host Club characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they held games for all the fangirls and fanboys that they could try to win Haruhi's heart through mini games.
It was actually one of the better panels I've seen. I didn't participate. You know, we were just hanging out waiting for the podcasting panel, which never materialized. It was really interactive. It was a lot of fun. They looked like the people were having a blast. It was pretty organized.
It was very high concept.
Very high concept.
When we walked in, we saw people in costumes kicking a tin can against, you know...
Milk bottles
to knock them down as if they were bowling pins.
Yeah, it was coffee can bowling for milk bottles, which I think it's been a while since I've seen Host Club, but the coffee can thing is a vague reference, I think, to the whole thing where it's like instant coffee.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's what they were doing when they had the coffee can. Or they just found a coffee can and were using it, who knows.
But as strange and as weird as it sometimes was, I mean, sometimes I feared that if I looked at it long enough, it would look back. But the people were having a blast, like, and it was orchestrated incredibly well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I met some of the gals that were running it, and they know what they're doing. The final event was musical chairs, and they're going to have people sit down. They're like, I just had an idea. Wouldn't it be better if we had the hosts sit down in the chairs?
And you had to sit in their laps,
which is really
and all the girls started squealing over this.
Mm-hmm. So it was really unfortunate, as Eric pointed out, for the very small boy who had the very large woman sitting in his lap.
The poor Honey cosplayer, the very small lady cosplaying Honey, who had a very very corpulent lady who sat on her lap. It was very sad.
But the trick was that wasn't like a spontaneous decision. They planned this out. And we're just throwing it out there, knowing what would happen. Mm. It was a very well orchestrated event.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was happening, I found out apparently, while our program said the podcast roundtable was supposed to be at noon, it was actually supposed to be at 6, replacing the Funimation panel. And the Funimation panel was supposed to be at noon.
So they're the ones that got cheated out by the Haruhi.
The ones that, because the Coast Club Challenge was late, got screwed out of time.
So, you know, the bunch of Dragon Ball Z fans were screwed over. What's new?
Yeah.
Funimation has got a lot of crap now. I just like them now that they've picked up all the Geneon stuff.
Aren't they doing Mushishi? Is it funny doing?
Yeah. Well, Funimation also does a lot of good things, which, oddly enough, includes Host Club.
Yes.
So it's almost kind of appropriate that they were pushed late because of our host club panel.
She's October 23rd, people. I think October 23rd is the correct date. You go buy that.
That's good shit.
Because Host Club's a good show.
I'm completely straight, and I'm telling you, go buy that. Like, Host Club is one of the best shows I've seen.
It is very well done.
In fact, you said October 23rd?
Yeah, I believe October 23rd. It's the full set on one DVD set, like the whole show.
What, really?
For like $30. Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting that shit.
It's like all of it for $30.
Watch this podcast for more infos, because we'll probably do a podcast.
A podcast on that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
And I think afterwards, we decided to do the whole lunch thing. Yes. Once again at Chow Baby, because
Chow Babies.
We just didn't have enough chow for our chow.
Oh my god, guys. Like, I don't know where you people are living that are listening to this, but if you got a Chow Babies near you, you see a place that says Chow Babies, you go eat there.
It is incredible.
It's incredible. It's good food. It's not too expensive. You make your own stir fry. Again, this is a little off topic, but go there. Do it.
The customizable meal thing is awesome to go. Stand in line and go, I want this and this and this. Okay, we'll cook that up for you.
Yeah, it was great.
And then afterwards, I ended up going to the writing about anime panel.
How was that?
It was pretty good. It was ran by a guy, I forget his name, who used to work for Raijin Comics. He now does some freelance work for various companies.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Surratt, Anime World Order. He also writes for Otaku USA. Patrick Mencius, who is the editor-in-chief of Otaku USA, which is one of the big anime magazines out.
Yeah.
It sort of has replaced New Type.
Yeah, as the new Type.
The nice, big, colorful pages, lots of artwork, includes an animation DVD. It's just a lot better written. Anyways, it also had Dave Merrill on it, who also occasionally writes for Otaku USA and also has his own blog called Let's Anime, where he talks about anime from 1990 and before. And it was kind of interesting. A lot of it was discussions of, is print still relevant? Yes. You know, how does it compare to the internet, the pros and cons and whatnot. It was a neat thing to listen to.
That's cool. Did you feel you learned anything from it? Like, that's the big thing. It's
exactly.
Like, did you learn anything about writing about anime, or did you just listen to, were they simply talking about writing for it, you know what I mean?
Like, it was more about writing. I mean, they did stuff like, you know, how to, you know, keep your, what, your audience in mind when you're writing it, what kind of things should be. I mean, it's very variable. Right. And it wasn't anything, I'm sure other people learned things from it. Everything that they said was something, stuff I already know, but I'm an English major.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it sounds like a lot of English 101 stuff.
So it was a lot of stuff that I've, you know, learned before. But it was neat to hear them talking about it, especially in an anime context, because you don't get to see that all the time.
One of these things I think that are great about some of these panels is, even if the information isn't necessarily new, to be in an environment where people are, you know, getting ideas together really gives you a creative rush to get things done sometimes. I mean, I got a lot of ideas just from being in some of the art panels. Even if I didn't learn anything, people were going, oh, I'm going to do this and that, and all of a sudden you're real pumped about, you know, creating something.
No, well, Basil, or are you still, have you got more on the publishing panel? Or
that was it, but then after that I followed it up with the 20 Years of Dark Horse manga, which unfortunately wasn't really the 20 Years of Dark Horse manga.
It was, hey, this is what Dark Horse
this is our
releasing.
Release schedule for the end of this year into the beginning of next year. At
any
least work, what I stayed for.
And we're putting Arcade on it?
No, that...
Not that they listed?
No, it's because it's not manga.
They get classified. They get thrown in the manga section a ton. That's why I
ask. I guess he didn't refer to it as manga.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was some neat stuff. He had previews of all the stuff that isn't out yet, but they made previews that you could look at. And whenever he was... It was Carl Gustav Horn. He's one of the main editors for the Dark Horse manga stuff. And when he's actually talking about the stuff, it was really interesting and how he was referring to Berserk or Hellsing or whatnot. And I was like... And that was really neat to hear him talk about. Then he would just start going, and then this date, we're having this. And then this date, we're having this. We're having this date, we're having this. And that was...
Boring.
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 Informative, but you get that on a website or anything. Yeah, we're talking about a, you know...
Like I said, when he was actually talking about the stuff...
He was real passionate.
I was like, this is really cool. And... But unfortunately, the dates just sort of get all jumbled in my head. I was like... Okay, I'm going to go find something else to do.
Well, while you were in the Dark Horse panels, me and James were actually in the How to Make Armor panel. And it was a very interesting panel. They had three guys who, sorry guys, I don't remember any of y'all's names, running it. And all of them had kind of a different take on it. There was one of them that seemed like most of the stuff he did was like medieval style armor and metal work style armor. Another guy did a lot of like anime style stuff where it's, you know, it's got the plasticky metal sheen, right? And the third guy was always talking about Star Wars stuff, which was warmed my heart. Was always talking about Jango Fett armor and Stormtrooper armor. It was a little bit over my head. I had expected kind of an Armor 101 class, and it was an Armor 201. But they did a lot of neat tips and tricks, you know, how to pad your armor, what kind of material should you start with to do what effects, tricks on aging, making things look like they were weathered, making things look like they were made out of metal, that sort of stuff. It could have easily been, like, five panels. I mean, they could have talked just on the vacuum forming process, right, for 2 hours.
Man, just you know, hearing about, I bet just trying to look at and envision armor would be giving you a lot of, like, just as an artist, just to be in that panel and been like,
Yeah, I was really, like, it made me want to go do art. Like, that's why I sat in on it. It was like I was interested in learning how to do armor.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me want to go run out and start designing, like, armor.
Awesome.
And it was really cool.
By any chance, were the two guys Jeff Allen and Jimmy Burns?
Burns was one of them. I think one of them was might have been. I don't remember his name. I do remember Burns.
I'm just reading this out of our handy-dandy program guide. So that's the only reason why I asked.
Yeah, they were very knowledgeable, very good. I wish that, I wish all three of them had like, a separate panel and sat down and done, like, prop working for like hours. I mean, like each of them could have sat down and run a separate panel and had on the 101 for prop making and stuff like that, and it would have been terrific. Like next year, anyway, if anybody who does anything important in anyway listens to this, more armor making, because you guys had a line outside of that for both the armor making and the steampunk panels, which were both a blast, and just more of that. It was great stuff.
The best one I went to was How to Tell a Story in Comics, and the name is a little bit misleading because I thought it would be like from a writer's perspective, how you know work in the different plot lines and stuff into the comics.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be more of a flow and perspective thing. Like, he started out with like a really dull thing of a guy playing baseball, and he shows you how to jazz it up and tell it better with the art and everything. So it was interesting, just very misleading, but the guy was really skilled, and we basically told him, you know, things of what we thought was a good idea of how to redraw the comic, and it was really interactive. It was a blast. So
it was more of a how to use your camera and your perspective
exactly.
When telling a comic than it is a writing the story.
Yeah,
the
which you know,
so telling story with art,
yeah,
not with writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
pretty much.
It depends, you know. Like when I was writing comics, I did a lot of the blocking and a lot of the setup for it. So, like, as a writer, you can't just write, they're playing a baseball game. Oh, I mean, you can, I guess, if you've got that kind of relationship with artists, right? They're playing a baseball game and write the guys, but...
But if you're really a writer, you're part of your whole, you know, I think at least it's part of your duty, and some people don't do this, they leave it up to the artist, but it's part of the creative process as a writer is saying, I want this to go like this, and
yeah,
to have the actual build with it, you know?
I've always felt that a comic strip should be very cinematic, and
exactly,
that it lays out the shots.
And that's what, you know, that's what he said. You want to think of your entire comic as a movie, and you're picking out the key frames,
yeah,
and putting them down into place.
Exactly.
So it was very informative. I enjoyed it.
Did you do the Fred Perry panel?
Oh, I did the Fred Perry panel. That was yesterday. He kicked ass. He was the dude.
Oh, yesterday. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was.
Did we talk about this already?
I don't remember.
We did yesterday. Wait. I did the drawing with Fred Perry. The actual Fred Perry stuff panel was today. I did not see that.
Okay, that's what I...
Was the Tim Eldred?
Yeah, I believe so. That sounds right.
Yeah, I hear Tim Eldred's really cool.
Oh, damn. He was doing little... They looked like almost like little foam stick figures, but they were like so dynamic and put into place, and the expressions were great. You knew what he was doing. People were like laughing. Oh, and then they realized, wait, this guy's a genius. He's got the guy going...
Do we do any other art panels?
Yeah, there are related panels.
No, I was going to go into the published comics, print, and web, but there was a huge line for it, you know. I've been bad as a reporter today. I've been...
Yeah, I must say, was anybody else encountering large lines outside of all their panels?
Well, yeah.
I was.
We missed the life drawing panel on last night because they said we only have materials enough for 12 people to do it. We were already in the room, but they're like, no, you can't just be in the room. So we went outside to stand in line. There were already like 15 people, so we missed out on the whole damn thing. So
really? They told y'all you had to go back out into the line?
Yeah, exactly.
But how were you supposed to get into the line if you were in the panel
exactly,
room already?
Exactly. So the people who were like late or not there on exactly when got the slots. Well, we were who were already there.
I think the NWA is... I don't want to say outgrowing the space they're in, but I don't know. There just seem to be a lot of logistical problems.
That seems like a more logistical problem than the pair of materials.
Yeah.
I think what should have happened was you should be able to bring your own sketchbook and whatnot. And
Well, the thing is, for the model, apparently they wanted to work. They're actually having a model in their model so you can draw them, and apparently they wanted a tight circle around the model for optimal. I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but...
Well,
they're actually paying this model, so you had to put up some, you know, money up front, and materials were in it. I don't know.
I see. That's the thing, though. Is like with that, you know, that sounds like a logistical problem. But
yeah.
But not only with the materials and stuff, but not only that, but like every panel I went to today, except for the podcasting panel, I had to wait in line,
mm-hmm.
and I barely got into like the armor making. I barely got into the steampunk. Like, everything I did, I had to wait. You know, God, they were the video gaming room. If you wanted to go in and play the video
game
room.
Exactly, it was
like,
bloated.
And I don't remember that from years past. Like, I never remember having to wait in line for panels. Now, for video game room, I've had to wait in line a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, video games sort of
yeah.
I don't want to say black sheep, but it's never a priority at all for anybody.
Yeah, like, the video game room, I'm used to having to wait in the line, but... it's usually not as long as it was this year. I don't know if AW has grown or what's going on. And I'll admit, I don't usually do a ton of panels, so maybe I've just always been lucky with my panels. But
no, I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think that it's just exponentially gotten bigger and bigger, and you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they can do to fix it or anything. But it was run fine.
Maybe you just picked really popular panels.
Yeah, that might have happened. You know, like. With the exception of whoever was running the Anime Hell line, everything has been run wonderfully, so I cannot fault any of the people doing lines anywhere.
But the guy who was doing the How to Tell a Story in Comics, we had a full-packed room, and he's like, whoa, I've never had this many people before.
Yeah.
So,
like, so I definitely think it's probably... I don't know if the entire attendance of the con has grown. I really can't... I have no judge of that just based on people in hallways and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always looked full, for the past years. I know it's been growing every year.
Mm.
But maybe the panels are just getting more well attended this year.
Saturday was this Saturday seemed bigger than either Friday seemed smaller or Saturday seemed bigger because man alive, like Friday I was looking around like, oh, it's like a normal average AWA, right?
And
I looked over Saturday and it was like, holy shit. Like, you know, they wouldn't let you walk down the halls at one point. They created walk backwards. They created separate, like, you go in this way and out this way to get to the Galleria Center and back.
That happened last year.
Like it happened last year, but I don't remember it going on all day.
And,
I remember having it during peak time last year.
And I guess that has a lot to do with that humongous line of people registering that stretched all the way. I mean, I was like, what are all these people?
Oh. Man, registration lines have been sucking for every con this year. Funny, I hear the Dragon Con was really bad.
Dragon Con was terrible, but Dragon Con's always terrible.
Yeah, you know, I heard Anime Central's was absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
Like I've heard several people have horror stories.
I don't think I could go back to doing. I got to harp on the early start program again. I don't think I could go back to waiting in registration lines because you know what? The pre-registration line is longer than the registration line. Like if you pre-registered, you're screwing yourself. I'm just telling you.
And it's a sad, sad thing because they should open up enough windows where the pre-reg is lower,
sure.
So that you actually have a benefit to getting it.
Yeah, I mean, you pay a little bit less, but man, I don't think it's worth it.
I think that's more of a recent event for the past few years, though, because back in the day,
mm-hmm.
pre-reg used to be the way to go.
Right.
Like, the lines were always, line was always faster,
mm-hmm.
it always moved quicker, and it was why I had less people in it, because most people would just pay at the door.
Right. Yeah.
I think nowadays, with the proliferation of the internet,
yeah.
Like I think I said last time, it's a lot easier to buy your registrations online than it has ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ease of doing it now, because before you had to, you know, send in a check, and people are lazy. It's a lot easier to click a few buttons than it is to get out of the checkbook, write a check, make sure you have a stamp, lick the envelope, then take it to the mailbox, or you can go click, click, click. It's that's just my idea. The internet makes many things easier in some ways and harder in others.
Well, that's all the panels I did except for our podcasting panel.
Not really our podcasting panel.
It's our podcasting panel. I was there and it was mine.
But you weren't even the one on it. You were just the resident asshole.
My hat was there. I was there. I have spoken.
This was actually mostly ran by the Anime World Order guys, as well as Paul Chapman of the Greatest Movie Ever podcast. And AWO is Daryl Surratt, Gerald Rathgull, and Clarissa, last name I don't remember. And
he explains it all.
Sometimes. And anyways, we were sitting on chairs, and I talked to Daryl and Paul a couple of times. Previously, like I had said hello to Daryl, thanking him for playing their promo on their last podcast yesterday. And then I introduced myself to Paul today, and Daryl was like, why don't you come up? We've got more space. You run a podcast, too. Because they were like, we're not the only podcasters here. And I was like, oh, okay. So I get up there, and I sit on the panel, and James is like, woohoo!
Well, no. James was like, I should get up there. And I'm like, yeah, go up there. I don't know. No, get up there. Man, he had 10 seconds. I was counting down. I was like, James, you got 10 seconds to get up there. Because he had 10 seconds, because you know what? I was going to talk about some stuff up there if he didn't get up there. But I kind of felt that with you up there, you were talking about the talking, and with him up there, he was talking about the tech. So
because we're apparently the only podcast with that actual sound guy.
We might not be the only one, but we were the only one
represented in that
representative panel. The four up there that had one. But we were not the only one with the resident asshole.
That's a requirement.
That's because we all come with our own. There was also a guy from AkibaRen.org. I'm pretty sure was it Akihabara Renaissance or
something like that.
Something like that. He was pretty cool. He, much like us, we're a very small podcast. So is he. Mostly the people listen to him like us are probably our friends or maybe you wonderful people that saw us at this panel and thought, man, the awesome cast sounds great and wonderful.
And awesome.
And Basil sounded so charming.
And why is he still single? Yes, you know, what? He's the cutest man. What?
Basil is totally the bee's
normal bees. Normal voice.
Okay. Fatal and totally the bird night.
Anyways. And so we talked about podcasting for an hour. And that was pretty fun.
Yeah, a lot of good questions from the audience about publishing and about... there was a big thing that I really appreciated. You know, when I was doing webcomic panels, we'd always get the, how do I become famous? Where do you get your ideas from? Why did I start making the monies off this internet phenomenon? Mm-hmm. And the podcasting audience didn't have any of that. The podcasting audience was just, I want to do a podcast because it sounds cool. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was very refreshing from, you know, the hordes of how do I instantly make money off the internet people.
Hey, how do I yell at the internet and get millions of people to praise me?
Exactly.
Yeah, we still haven't figured that one out yet. But it was kind of interesting to see how everyone, even like, you know, the AWO guys and Paul Chapman and other guy whose name I can't remember now, but he was cool. And us, we all did different ways of recording and publishing and everything.
Yep. We all had like a different methodology and a different way we did things. You know, Anime World Order, I didn't know that was, they don't record together.
Yeah.
They all record in their own separate houses. They talk over Skype while they record and then edit it all together. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. I didn't realize that until.
Like, which also makes it a lot easier for them to do things like interviews and stuff because they can interview guys or have guests over just via through Skype because that's how they record everything anyways. For us, since we talk into a condenser mic, it'd be a lot harder for us to call someone up and go, hey, you should talk while we're talking. Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a lot easier for us to kind of a flow and talk together, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for real.
Which is one of the things we talked about at the panel. But it was fun. It was cool.
Yeah, it was a lot
I
of fun.
Definitely appreciate the opportunity to talk in front of a much bigger room than I have ever talked to before.
It's about 30 or 40 podcasting people.
Yeah.
And towards the end, there's about 100, 120 plus people in the room for the panel of doom, most of which listened intently to the podcasting panel, but a good portion of jackasses in the back were being dicks about it. Now, we know who you are. We're going to hunt you at down.
I'm going to do it personally. I'm going to see to it.
That's right. Zerg Rush, baby.
Yes.
So
new energy drink.
And then, of course, afterwards was Daryl Surratt's Panel of Doom, where they showed violence and Chuck E. Cheese clips, Rick Rolls,
and
suspense, drama,
anime hell light.
Well, I mean, even Daryl Surratt knows it's anime hell light. I mean, no one does anime hell like Dave Merrill does. But
you just can't top it.
He's the master. He's been doing it for up to 10 billion years.
What AWA is this?
14.
So 14 years?
I think it's like 10 or 11 years old. Like, I don't think it happened the first few years. It's more of a recent, not a recent phenomenon, but, you know, it happened a few years in.
Yeah.
And he might have even done it for first at a convention that wasn't AWA. I don't remember. But it was cool. And then we were hungry, so we consumed food.
Where'd y'all guys end up going?
Jack's and Jill's.
It's a
terrible sports grill bar. The food's okay, but the atmosphere is awful.
Very, very loud.
Very loud.
You know, lots of TVs going off.
And God, I got to be reminded every 5 minutes that Tennessee got squished by Florida. God. On about 5 different big screens.
And then afterwards, after that was pretty much it for us, I think. I mean,
yep, that was pretty much our day here at the Anime Week in Atlanta.
Afterwards, me and Inibito hit the bar, had a drink.
No Dave Merrill this time.
Well, they didn't know what Dave Merrill last time either.
Oh yeah, I forgot. They didn't know about the Dave Merrill last time. So
apparently there's some dance going on. Is that the rave?
It's the rave.
The unch thing.
Yeah, the
which
rave
had
right now.
Which had a line almost as long as registration.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with the rave. Every single, you know, that I know about. Every right. single year, this giant line. And it's just a, you know...
Huge pain in the ass,
and it's just not worth doing. Especially since it's full of high teenagers. I don't really... God, I sound old, but it's still full of high teenagers.
But so far, I think this AWA has been a lot of fun. Definitely, you know, an enjoyable, successful convention, at least for me.
Yep.
And despite the dealer's room not having quite up to snuff what I wanted, it's still taken much of my money.
Yeah, you still spend more than almost as much as me and Eric combined.
I haven't spent any money on me except for the one, the keychain so far.
Wait, like, so I've spent more money than you guys combined?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way.
Well, yeah, I know I have, but I didn't. How'd you know that? Oh, I've been showing shit out.
You've been showing.
Oh, shit.
Well, I was there when you bought 2 things.
Oh, yeah.
You last t-shirt stealer. No.
Did you want that one? Yeah.
No, Lee, we'll talk. Remember, what's our lesson?
Oh, yeah.
What's our lesson?
Yeah.
What is it?
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. There you go. That's right.
Yes.
Awesomecast. We think.
We life coach.
And we're telling you to screw off.
Fuck you. If you're a weeaboo, get the fuck out. If you're a furry, get the fuck out.
If you're listening to this podcast, too bad because it's over.
Get the fuck out.
Test.
Dude, that was kind of nasty. This has been the Awesome Cast. If you want to learn more about us, or if you liked us, check us out on the web at osmcast.com. and leave a message or comment in the comment section.
Awesome Cast. So awesome, only three letters can contain it.
Or you can leave us an email at osmcast@gmail.com. Or you can send us a voicemail at the Awesome Line, area code 206-426-5063.
Bye-bye.